to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Verses 15 through 20. You might already be familiar with the book of Proverbs, which contains a lot of wisdom sayings, wisdom teachings. And a lot of those kinds of things show up in the book of Ecclesiastes as well. So when you hear a text like this one this morning, it's less of a letter, less of a story or narrative. It's more just a collection of individual sayings or pieces of wisdom. A fool's work wearies him. He does not know the way to town. Woe to you, O land, whose king was a servant and whose princes feast in the morning. Blessed are you, O land, whose king is of noble birth and whose princes eat at a proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. If a man is lazy, the rafters sag. If his hands are idle, the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes life merry. But money is the answer for everything. Do not revile the king even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird of the air may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. Let us pray. O God, who gives wisdom, use today's message to guide us in the wise way and away from the foolish way as we go about our daily lives. And most of all, keep us on the way of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, if you look around at our facilities and grounds, you'll be able to tell that our Buildings and Grounds Committee hasn't been idle this summer. Trees have been trimmed and removed. Landscaping has been refreshed. Oil tanks have been painted. And the big project that most of you spotted last Sunday, the parking lot, has been resealed and restriped. Some of these projects have been contracted out to specialists. Some of them have been done by folks here in our congregation who have the time and the skill and the willingness and availability to help us care for and enhance what God has entrusted to us. It's a reminder that having a church that's well tended and cared for, it doesn't just happen. It takes hard work and effort. Contrast that with the scene that's painted in one of our verses from this text from Ecclesiastes that I just read. Through laziness, the rafters sag. Because of idle hands, the house leaks. Now, in this case, it sounds like the Buildings and Grounds Committee has gone on a summer vacation. Actually, I think this proverb sounds like it has more of a residential setting when you look closely. The homeowner, in this case, has been neglecting essential maintenance and repairs. The roof is leaking. The toilets won't flush properly. Doorknobs are loose. Light bulbs need to be replaced. The air conditioner, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Drafty windows need some caulking. It sounds like a case where the homeowner enjoys sitting, watching reruns of Home Improvement without actually doing any of that kind of thing themselves. During one of the commercial breaks, maybe that person should pick up their Bible, which in this point is actually just a resting spot for the remote control on the TV, and open it to the book of Ecclesiastes. That's where we find plenty of insight about how to live wisely rather than foolishly. Today's scripture is just one segment of an entire chapter that gathers up wisdom sayings, proverbs in that sense, that all pivot around the theme of cause and effect. In other words, if you follow this course of action or inaction, This is how things will likely turn out. Choosing foolishly will lead to problems, potential disaster. Choosing wisely will make for a much better outcome. So in those behavior choices that we face each day, use good judgment. Choose wisely, we're told. In particular, beware, we're told, of the danger of idleness. I realize that lots of people have commented on that particular subject. Some of the advice has a more positive bearing to it. Some has a more negative bearing to it. If you take some of those sayings with a negative shape to them, like idle hands are what? Can anybody finish that one? Yeah, idle hands are the devil's workshop. A philosopher named Voltaire who once said, "Shun idleness. It is a rust that attaches itself to the most brilliant metals." Or John Quincy Adams, "Idleness is sweet, and its consequences are cruel." But like I said, idleness can sometimes be interpreted in positive kinds of ways. One person said, "Idleness is not doing nothing. Idleness is being free to do anything." Or, "What fools call wasting time is most often the best investment." So you've got those angles on it as well. Recall last Sunday when I focused on the theme of Sabbath in my sermon. Rest is a gift of God, and God wills our wholeness, our wellness, our well-being. So when we honor God through our observance of the Lord's Day, and when we practice rhythms of Sabbath in our daily lives, we acknowledge that ceasing from work, that's as fundamental a part of our relationship with God as other kinds of things are. In that respect, there's a place for idleness in the Christian life. In other words, a positive kind of idleness that can renew us, that can refresh us, idleness that can actually create space for imagination, creativity, those kinds of things. Earlier this week, I was talking to someone who's trying to keep a close eye on her children's pace or schedule this summer. I could tell that she was concerned about her children, like many children, getting basically overbooked, overscheduled themselves. So she saw the value in slowing down, saw some value in what we may even call idleness. She said their lives can get so structured, organized, and booked with activities, programs, and events that there's little time left for rest, for recreation, for play, for freedom. So here was a mom who was growing further into the value of downtime, not just for herself, but for her children too. In his book, The Busy Trap, Tim Kreider says, "The space and quiet that idleness provides is a necessary condition for standing back from life and seeing it whole, for making unexpected connections and waiting for the wild summer lightning strikes of inspiration." He goes on to say, "Idleness is paradoxically necessary to getting any work done." So sometimes idleness is necessary in order to have the space, the time, the opportunity for refreshment that enables us to move into greater work, productivity, and fruitfulness. So from a Christian perspective, there is a sense in which it can be a good thing to be idle. We need to be idle sometimes, and in order to practice holiness, to bring glory to God, there are opportunities where we need to clock out of a life that's devoted so much to productivity, achievement, efficiency, accomplishment, and get out of that a little bit in order to be idle. But I think that's different from the kind of idleness that's being warned against in our scripture passage here today, here in Ecclesiastes and in many other parts of the scriptures. This is a reference more to idleness that involves wasting time, resources, opportunities that could be utilized in our lives to seek after God's righteousness, to embody it in our lives, to reflect it in our lives, individually and together. This is the kind of idleness that can make us spiritually unproductive, and unproductive in lots of other ways too. It can not only make us unproductive, it can create occasions and opportunities for temptation to sin. It can be a problem that way. It can contribute to procrastination. Throughout the history of the church, Christian communities and Christian leaders have warned in different kinds of ways about staying alert to the dangers of idleness, and not just staying alert to it, cultivating spiritual disciplines, practices that help you guard against it. For instance, in the 6th century, there was a guide for monks called the Rule of Saint Benedict that stated, "Idleness is the enemy of the soul. Therefore, the brothers must be busy with manual labor at specified times, and also with divine reading at specified hours. For they are really monks when they live by the labor of their hands, as our fathers and the apostles did." So in this case, there was a daily rhythm of manual labor, yes, but also times of reflection upon Scripture. And that was prescribed as a way of staying vigilant, maintaining attentiveness to God, being on guard against idleness and its dangers. In the Middle Ages, there was a painting by Hieronymus Bosch, and it shows a man who's dozing in his chair in the middle of the day. He's got a pillow behind his head. There's a dog curled up at his foot, down there at his feet. And standing right beside him is a nun who's trying to hand him some rosary beads and a prayer book. But he will not, or is at least not willing to wake from his slumber. I like the way that one preacher's put it. He'd rather snooze than hear from God. Now, there's nothing wrong with snoozing sometimes. We all can benefit from a nap here and there. That's certainly true. But the impression conveyed by this piece of art may be a warning against us being overtaken by spiritual slumber. Spiritual slumber. There's a great Puritan church leader who once noted, "Idleness is a sin that we can sleepily ease into. It is not a sin that we can sleepily ease out of. If we take laziness lightly, we will never repent of it with our whole heart." So today's text is a reminder to us that without vigilance, we can grow slack in different kinds of ways. And that includes the life of faith. Growing slack in the life of faith, we can slip into spiritual slumber, become unfruitful. And when I say fruitful, I'm not talking primarily about constantly checking off a list of to-do things for the Lord, or just racking up accomplishments in the life of the church, or filling your calendar completely with spiritual disciplines. Those can all have their place and be good things. It's always possible to remember that we can overdo it in the direction of busyness, just as much as we can overdo it in the busyness of idleness as well. That's part of what can happen. One person has observed, the workaholic may be as guilty as the couch potato, because their constant activity, he says, keeps them from attending to the things that are most important in life, or in experience, or in circumstances. So, busyness or idleness, in one respect, they can take their toll on a lively personal relationship with Jesus Christ if we're not paying attention or managing them the right way, or take a toll on our involvement with the community of Christ people. I think that especially during a time like this, when the pandemic has disrupted and changed and altered so many of our congregations and other congregations' programs and activities and structure, it's more easy, in a sense, to become distant from the church, disengaged from the life of the fellowship of God's people, the fellowship of faith. And in cases like that, as in present circumstances, complacency can start to set in. about relationship with Christ, relationship with the church. As a businessman named Max Dupree, he's now deceased, but he was often looked to as a great source of wisdom on leadership. And when he was once asked about the most difficult thing that he personally had to work on, he said, it's the interception of entropy. Now, entropy is a term from physics. It has to do with the availability of energy, and entropy is essentially the idea that everything that is left to itself has a tendency to deteriorate. So one preacher said, entropy, it's not only one of the great enemies of the universe, it's one of the great enemies of the human spirit too. A person becomes apathetic, complacent, settles for the path of least resistance in some area of life. Dreams die, hopes fade. A terrible thing happens. A person learns that they can live with mediocrity. Now, maybe that's part of what's going on in our scripture passage here today in this verse from Ecclesiastes. The homeowner has grown comfortably complacent, inhabiting a mediocre dwelling, right? Isn't that what it looks like? So the roof has a leak. So the air conditioner's making funny sounds. So the toilet's broken and unreliable. So the foundation is showing some cracks. These kinds of things may need to be addressed, but not now. Repairs can wait. A few years ago, Debbie and I decided to follow through on a project with our front porch to have the flooring, the whole flooring of the porch replaced. It took some time to actually get to that point. Though, over time, there was a lot of deterioration on both ends of the porch where it was more exposed to the elements, especially wind and rain, and the wood had deteriorated. About a decade ago, I did the DIY thing and replaced a portion on one end of it, which helped. It made a difference. But over time, the problem just returned as years continued to go on. And we postponed that whole replace the entire floor project until the day that I stepped down onto one of the boards and my foot went all the way through under the porch. And we began to think and talk more about maybe it's time to go ahead with this project. And it wasn't long eventually till we did get the whole floor of the front porch replaced. Idleness often takes the form of procrastination. Rather than moving into action, it's often easier to postpone, put off, procrastinate. That project, that can wait for another time. We'll get to that at some point, tomorrow, or another opportunity for doing something. But tomorrow, or sometime, or another point, never arrives. Nothing happens. I think from a spiritual standpoint, in our relation to our sinfulness, there was another Puritan named Charles Bridges who captured it this way. While we study the awful catalog of sins of commission, let us not forget that the sins of omission are equally guilty. Not just the things we do, but the things that we don't do, that we should be doing in our lives. We learn, he says, to do evil by doing nothing. We satisfy ourselves and our irreligious habits with the delusion that, well, I haven't done any harm, have I, by doing nothing? I haven't done any harm. But is it really no harm, he says, to trifle away all those opportunities to do good and to be faithful? That's because a life of following Jesus involves not just avoiding evil, that's part of it, but also doing good in the way of Christ and according to the will of Christ. And that requires effort. Faith is hard work. It's not just something that happens. So as our scripture passage today reminds us, beware of complacency where it may be showing up in your life, especially in your spiritual life, your relationship with the Lord. Guard against idleness. Or maybe think of it this way. If you conceive of your relationship with Christ and His church as a house, if you look at it that way, what kind of shape is your dwelling in right now? That dwelling place called relationship with Christ and His church. Think about it in your life, in our life as a congregation. Where are the creeks and the leaks in your dwelling place called relationship with the Lord? What are the strange sounds that you need to be investigating, looking closer into in your spiritual life? What's broken and needs immediate attention? What in your spiritual life is deteriorating, and you know it, and you know it's only going to get worse if you don't do something about it? What about that need or that question? Are there cracks in the foundation of your spiritual life itself, right there at the foundation, that need to be looked into and addressed and worked upon? How much, in this sense, how much deferred maintenance is there in your discipleship? That's what we can look at in light of this scripture today, in our lives individually, in our life together as a congregation. Where is there deferred maintenance that we need to focus on? Or to gather it all up very well, where do you need to come alive? Where do you, as an individual, and we as a church, need to come alive from complacency and get to work on renovations and repairs in our relationship with the Lord? Let's pray about that. Oh Lord, we thank You for wisdom from above that helps us see our lives and our congregation more clearly. We thank You for all those who invest time and effort and labor in helping us maintain the buildings and grounds that we have here, and the way that all of us can contribute to it in various ways. But we pray especially today, O Lord, that You help each of us to be alert to idleness or complacency in our lives, especially in our relationship with You and with Your church. Show us where those places are that need attention and maintenance and work and repair, so that we'll truly labor at our faith and be more determined in our discipleship. Show us how and where, O Lord, we need to be idle in order to be refreshed. But show us also where idleness is a danger and how we need to respond. Give us wisdom for this and the will and power of Your Spirit in our daily lives to act upon it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.